D-E-A-T-H. What does that spell? Death, 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 death.
It is trifecta time, which is, of course, how we remember those who have recently passed and ask serious probing questions about their contributions, how much they mattered, and whether they had the credentials to gain a room in a three-bedroom apartment in the sky. So we are room 503 or 4? Where are we now?
503, currently occupied by George Wendt and Jim Irsay.
Look at that.
All right. Today we try to induct a human being that I don't think is like a household name in the world of rock and roll. What's that?
We have a friend.
Do we have our seventh?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Justice.
I just talked to Donovan in the hallway. Hi, Donovan.
Hello, Hardline.
Hi, Donovan.
Hi, Hardline.
Thank you for being with us today and helping us sort through this one. You will be a very valuable piece to this puzzle.
It was a great seeing all three of you guys today. Made my day.
Yeah. So we're trying to induct Rick Derringer, who is thought of in the circles that are guitar-type circles.
Okay.
That he's really, really good.
Are these like karate-type circles?
I'm not the biggest fan of this guy. I'm certainly aware of everything that the guy has done. But basically, Rick Derringer was born in Ohio. Richard Dean Zeringer was his name before he changed the last name to Derringer. He was born in 1947 in Ohio. Got his first guitar at 9, and they say he was a virtuoso by the age of 10. He's one of those guys, and he said that like he would apologize to people that were older than him. He's like, I just picked it up, and anything I could hear, I could play.
I don't understand
that. I mean, it's kind of cool, right? Like, it's really, really cool. And so back in the day, he was involved in obviously, that his whole life revolved around music and bands and all that good stuff. And he put together a band in Ohio that was named the McCoys, which was taken from an instrumental band, an instrumental song by The Ventures, called the McCoy. And so the McCoys were playing like, just small clubs and things like that. And there was a song, Donovan, I'm sorry, this was just the way things were back in the day. There was a song called My Girl Sloopy, which was originally recorded by the Vibrations, which is an R&B group, a black group, back in the day.
Whoa.
So the record companies got together and they're like, we need to find a white band that can put this out and make it sound
white.
Well, not white. They still wanted their white acts to sound, and Donovan can attest to this, they wanted them to sound black.
Ooh.
But when they saw their photos, they're like, oh, well, sure my kids can listen to this. And that's unfortunate, but My Girl Sloopy.
In the 60s.
Yes, in the 60s. My Girl Sloopy turned into Hang On Sloopy, which is this song.
Crank it.
Hang on, Sloopy. Sloopy, hang on.
Well, this is high school band 101, isn't it? At football games?
Hold on to that thought.
Sloopy lives in a very bad part of town.
Whoa.
Isn't this also a song from Greece?
I don't think so.
No, I mean, the music sounds just like a song in Greece.
Oh.
That's the whole 60s, Dave.
Hey, have you?
That was the 50s.
50s, yeah, yeah.
What's the name of the original song?
My Girl Sloopy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, and it does. It's slower than this.
Don't.
I listened to it last night. It's a much slower version of this. And anyway, this became a monster hit. Huge. And I guess the problem for the Vibrations, that R&B band where they ripped it off from, I think they didn't make the money off of this, but the record label made the money off this. That's just, again, the way things were back in the day. But it was...
Oh, okay.
It's not Shoopy, it's Sloopy.
It was such a big hit for them.
Yeah, theft was legal.
In 1965, and right about that same time, there was a young guy who heard this song, and he was a student at Ohio State. And he knew a couple of people in the Ohio State band, and from that moment on, this became their official fourth quarter song.
Okay.
And so now every single Ohio State football game,
sports,
you will hear this. So you hear that O-H-I-O, you know, in the background. And
I feel like that song was very common on Friday nights with high school football across
for sure.
The fruited plain.
They own it, though.
Okay.
They definitely have.
I guess I did not know that. Well, I knew they did it. I didn't associate it with them.
Yeah, they started this literally like back in 1965, and that became a part of their thing.
Huh.
Also, Hang On Sloopy was big in pop culture. Dave mentioned it sounds like something that was in Greece. Well, it was in the opening scene of the Doors movie. Oliver Stone was a big fan of the song. And so when Ray Manzarek and Jim Morrison, the lead singer of the Doors, are collaborating on the beach, what do you hear in the background? He's meditating.
I thought it was DJ.
Try acid, Ray. It's guaranteed.
Morrison.
The last trip was a real bummer, man.
I never had a bummer on acid.
No, I'm trying naturally high now.
Yeah, whatever works.
So anyway, it was a part of the Doors movie.
Oh, let's get some talk.
And it was just a monster of a song. So he goes
on. By the
way,
they did lift that bass line for Summer Nights in Greece.
Did they really?
Same exact
bass line. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, wow, I never knew that. So back in the late 60s and early 70s, he got so sick of having to play Sloopy, and he got so sick of his fan base being 14-year-old girls that he was like, I got to get out of this, man. And so he was a rock and roll guy at heart, and so still he was a super, super young guy when he ventured out onto his own. And by the way, we're talking of Rick Derringer. And so... one of the first songs he wrote was Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo.
No.
Which I can't stand it, but you talk about pop culture, in Dazed and Confused, it was a big, big part of, their scene. As remember the nerds that were driving around in the car talking about, I just want to dance, in Dazed and Confused? Well, it led to this.
Which one of you had the theory about how President Ford's old football head injuries is affecting the economy?
Did you know Ford was on the Warren Commission?
Who cares? He's out of there this fall. Look, we need some alcohol.
That's a thought.
Then you cut to the bar scene. And they're all in there playing pool together. So,
why don't you run to the Centennial over there and pick me up a sixer disco? Think you do that? Thanks, man.
The very common senior asking the freshman to go get him a sixer at the Centennial liquor store across the street. So that was a big part of things. He started also producing for the likes of Johnny Winter, another guitar slinger from Texas. And speaking of Dazed and Confused, this was the other song that emanated from it.
Were you going to have a party here tonight, son? I don't know what that was all about.
Start unpacking. We're not going anywhere.
Frank.
So Free Ride, this is him. He produced this whole record from Johnny Winter. And this is a very common 70s hit.
Yep.
And Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo was a huge 70s hit. And then after his 70s run, which beat everybody to death.
Oh, but before you move on from the 70s, mm-hmm. just to reiterate your fact that he's just a virtuoso player.
Yeah.
He played on two different Steely Dan tracks.
Yeah, yeah. He was a session guy for Steely
Dan.
Yeah,
and Steely Dan were legendary in just how much they were perfectionists.
Yes.
And they would bring in session guy after session guy until they found the right guy, and he played on two of their tracks.
Donnie, have you heard either of those songs? You've heard Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo and Free Ride, have
yes.
you?
Okay. Both. Yes,
yeah.
I have.
Yeah. And so you roll into the 80s, and things have changed quite a bit musically, of course. Well, somehow, and I still have not got to the bottom of this, how Hulk Hogan and the WWE reached out to Rick Derringer, but they did meet with him specifically for creating a song for the Wrestling Federation that eventually became Hulk Hogan's walkout song. Now, he didn't write it for Hulk,
right.
from what I read,
okay.
but he wrote it for wrestling, and it turned into this. Donnie, did you know this song? Because of wrestling?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Donnie.
Dave and
I did it at Ticket Stock one time.
Well, no, but thank you.
He just did it, yeah.
Thank you for knowing its origin is important because...
Me and Dave didn't.
No. Oh, you guys didn't know it was from wrestling?
No. No. I'd never seen... Look, I'm going to admit this.
I wasn't into Hulkamania.
I've never
it
seen...
It didn't even matter if you were into it or not.
Well, that's what Bob said.
That was huge.
It was huge.
In wrestling, which
no,
I didn't
No,
watch.
That's the thing. It was so big, and I'll say this again. In the heyday of Saturday Night Live, they were preempting Saturday Night Live for
Absolutely.
This on NBC.
And I would turn it off.
Well, no, but I'm saying it did stupid numbers back then.
I don't disagree.
I didn't remember.
I don't disagree. I've never seen
commercials, all that stuff. Man, that was, I'm shocked.
A funny note on this song.
Didn't know about this.
A funny note on this song. We know that Donald Trump used it in his most recent campaign.
Yeah.
But did you know that Barack Obama did it? He used it at the 2011 White House Correspondents' Dinner when he revealed his long form birth certificate.
No way. That's a good bit. That's a really good bit. And then he did a couple other wrestling songs that were not as noteworthy. And then he just kind of, you know, went away, if you will. I'm sure he toured and had great success touring, but.
Well, he did the Cyndi Lauper album, right?
Yeah, he did. He was a notable producer and he just beat me over the head, but I recognize.
But rest in peace.
The fact that he was in so many different little avenues of pop culture, the fact that he's part of the Ohio State scene to this day, the fact that he was in Dazed and Confused.
Don't forget, the only Grammy he ever won was for producing Weird Al Yankovic.
That's the craziest thing ever is that Weird, and it's got to be the last thing he did of note, was produce a Weird Al record. And I think that he was on the song Eat It. That
did he do the
famously
Eddie Van Halen
solo? Yeah, did the solo. Rick Derringer did it on Eat It. Eat It.
That's beautiful.
Yes. Lando, Rick Derringer.
Man. I'm going to say, yeah, he's in.
That's me.
Deej.
I'm going to say yes.
Tam.
Worthy.
Yes, he is. Worthy indeed. I know
Donnie?
You're...
I probably would have leaned no, but I can understand why, you know, the Thief Stealing song was inducted into the trifecta.
Okay, let me back up. He didn't steal that. The record label
was looking for white people.
He was just following orders, man.
He was like, hey, I'm white. Let's go.
The record company could not find any white people. They searched high and low.
They talked over that, Ham.
Bob, you'd put him in, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he's it.
Yeah, he is a real American indeed.
Jim Irsay's got to be so fired up.
I know. Dude, he's got a guitar slinger.
Yeah.
He probably owns a Rick Derringer one.
That's beautiful.
And George Wendt. All right, Donnie, thank you very much, sir.
All right, boys.
We'll talk to you later. There he goes, Donovan Lewis. Rick Derringer is in.